Hello?
Hey Emily, can you hear me fine? It's Ari.
Hi. I can, yeah.
Okay, great. So I'm just recording this for my transcription purposes, okay?
Sure, of course.
Okay, great. So I'm always curious when I talk to Olympic athletes, especially like when the games are coming up. Do you know exactly how many days are left till the opening ceremonies?
I believe we are at about 4 months and 11 days.
Wow, so you're not counting, right?
No, not at all. I might be off by a day or two, but
What is it like
we're
for?
definitely a little bit less than 4.5 months away.
Wow, so what's it like? Because most athletes, they've got a game coming up this week, a game coming up next month, whatever. To wait 4 years, obviously there's other competitions, and but for the grandest stage for you. At what point do you start to get nervous, or do the nerves go away? Like, what are the emotions that go through your body as you get closer to that 4 month period, when it actually happens?
I mean, of course, there's always emotions. They're impossible to stop entirely. But for me, I mean, the biggest thing, my biggest focus is really to just take every day, one day at a time, and every jump and every skill, one day at a time. For me, that is the easiest way to deal with it. There's a couple of milestones that make it exciting. World Championships were really exciting last year. The first snow started flying last week in Utah, so that was really exciting. But yeah, it's really just about, we set out a plan 4 years ago after the Torino Olympics, just making sure that I knew exactly what I had to do in order to be where I wanted to be in February of 2010. And it's a matter of just sticking to that plan every day, and just making sure that it's slow and steady and consistent, and that everything's getting done every day.
You haven't had the best experiences at the Olympics. I mean, in terms of obviously 2002 was not good, and I'm sure you wanted to finish better at 06. Do you think about like do you harp on those moments a lot?
Definitely not. I mean, the 2002 injury and also the 2006 games they were both obviously huge parts of who I am today and huge parts of my life. I would never trade them for the world. In 2002, the 3 years that I spent rehabbing my two broken feet, I learned more about myself as a human being and as an athlete than I ever could have if things had gone, perfectly smoothly. So for me, being injured in 2002 and watching from the stands in a wheelchair, it made me appreciate being able to be an athlete so much more. And it also gave me the opportunity to really choose to be an athlete because I spent 3 years not being an athlete. And I realized how much I love it and how much I wanted it. So 2006, I mean, that was all about participating for me. It was about getting there. It was about walking into the opening ceremonies. It was about, sharing the experience with my teammates. Of course, I didn't perform quite as well as I wanted to. I actually crashed my first jump at the 2006 Olympics. But really, I realized when I stood up and looked around after, I brushed all the snow off myself, my friends and family were cheering like I had just won a gold medal, and it really put it in perspective for me that, for the last 4 years since that 2002, my dream had been to go to the Olympics, to participate, to be an Olympian, in mind, spirit, and this time in body. This time around, things are a little differently. I've had the opportunity to prepare properly over the last 4 years and to do, absolutely everything in my power to perform my best next February. So I'm really excited going into this Games. The first time was about qualifying, second time was about participating, and this time it's about performing. So I'm really excited to go do that.
Was it true, or I mean, not was it true, but was there really a doubt that you would actually never walk again after the 2002 injury?
No, I think that everyone was pretty confident that I would walk. The problem is that about a year and a half after the injury, I wasn't walking well. I actually, if you lined up my hip and my knee, my left foot actually kind of pointed out at about a 45-degree angle. So I was walking, I was just limping, and I was in pain almost all the time. So that second surgery that I had a year and a half after the injury was, I did it with the hope, of course, that I would be able to ski again, that I would be able to jump again, and that I would be able to compete again. But there was really no guarantee that any of that would happen. So, yeah, really it was about getting me back to normal life functioning. And, you know, always in the forefront of my mind was, you know, getting back to competition and back to, you know, being an Olympian again. But, yeah, no, there weren't any doctors out there that guaranteed that they could get me back, that's for sure.
Okay. And I saw the piece that Carson Daly Show did on you. Which was great.
Yeah, they did a good job, huh?
Yeah,
I thought they did an awesome job.
Yeah, it was very good. I don't remember who, I think it was in that piece, or it might have been something else that I saw, but I don't remember who, it might have been your coach. Someone said that your foot went from a size 6 to a size 2 when that happened. Is that permanently, or just when you actually broke your feet?
Just when I actually broke it. The thing was is that there was a really severe dislocation in the foot. So what happened is all of the bones just kind of squashed together. My foot actually turned kind of sideways, so that, like, the bottom part was then on the side instead of down, and it just kind of shrunk back, too, because the bones just kind of, they kind of collapsed up almost. Like, if you see pictures of, you know, women who've had their feet bound, you know, back in China, right? It kind of looked like that. It just kind of shrunk a little bit and twisted sideways. It was pretty disgusting. Yeah, it was kind of gross, actually. It was actually about that point that I definitely kind of went into shock and lost consciousness a little bit during that whole actual process of breaking a feet. Once they reduced the dislocation, it pretty much went back to its normal size. It looks different than the other one now, the left foot does.
Okay.
But it's definitely no longer a size 2.
Okay. How sick are you?
Yeah, Speedy said that. My teammate said that.
Oh, right. Gotcha. Yeah. I knew someone. I just forgot. How tired are you of talking about this? It's now 7 years later.
You know, like I said in the beginning, it's such a huge part of my life. It's such a huge part of who I am and who I've become as a human being that, you know, it's really not a problem for me to talk about anymore. You know, it doesn't upset me anymore. I'm very much past the injury part of life. You know, I've moved forward. I've conquered all of the fear that came along with it. You know, fear of re-injury, fear of failure, all of those things that come along with, you know, any sort of devastating experience in life. And really, I mean, I've had so many more experiences now that have shown me that really in the big scheme of things, yeah, it was terrible that I didn't go to the Olympics, but I have a really incredible, amazing life and a really amazing opportunity to, you know, to share that with a lot of people. And so I'm totally game to talk about it as much as I can, as much as people want to. I know that it inspires other people to come back from injuries themselves and overcome their own obstacles, but there's many people in my life who do that for me as well. So I think the more you talk about, the more you share about these experiences that you have in your life, you know, the better off everybody ends up. So I'm cool with it. It's no big deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have a background in gymnastics and diving, correct?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. And what I mean, yeah, how does that? That must be an incredible advantage to you because you're used to moving your body in certain ways and flexibility and all that stuff. You still, you know, use the things that you learned when you were just doing that stuff and before you got into skiing. Now in your you know, when you're training or even when you're, you know, getting ready for a big moment, you still think back to some of the things that you learned as a gymnast or a diver?
Absolutely. You know, I think the biggest advantage in being a gymnast before being an aerialist is really just your body awareness and your air sense. You know, oftentimes as an aerialist, our goal is to keep our vision, to keep our eyes down the hill and looking at the ground at all times. And sometimes you just miss and you don't. So for me, you know, flipping and twisting is so natural that if I happen to, you know, take a look in the wrong place, a lot of people in that situation would get lost and not exactly know where they were in the air. For me, it's really easy to get my feet underneath me and ski away. You know, that's actually one of my strengths as an athlete is to land jumps, you know, no matter what happens, which is great. But also, I mean, just being a competitive athlete at such a young age, I learned a lot of things, you know, about sports psychology, about how to be a competitor, about how to, you know, relax my mind going into a competition, and all those important things that come along with being an athlete for so long. I actually had a really cool experience last night. I met, I was at the Women's Sports Foundation, the annual salute to women in sports last night, and had the opportunity to meet, you know, Dominique Dawes, Carrie Strug, who else was there? Shawn Johnson was there. So really just to meet some of the girls that, you know, Dominique and Carrie, who I watched when I was younger growing up and who really inspired me to be an athlete. And then, of course, I'm just an Olympic addict, so, you know, watching Shawn Johnson compete this summer was amazing also. So I love gymnastics. I love watching it. And, you know, we still do a little bit of it for training. We do a lot of trampoline work, and we'll go in the gym and tumble a little bit and just, you know, make sure we're as comfortable as possible upside down.
Do you feel as though aerials, because it's a little newer, I mean, there are some sports that have come into the Olympics even after. I believe aerials came in 94, if I'm not mistaken. But do you feel as though it gets sort of, like, does it get the respect that it deserves because it's not one of the traditional Olympic sports?
Yeah, I mean, everyone that I talk to thinks that it's, you know, the coolest thing in the world. So, you know, for me, absolutely. I think it gets a ton of respect. You know, in regards to attention, I don't really know. It's not really why I do it. You know, I do it because I love it. So, I don't know. I don't really think that question is necessarily something that's too big of a deal for me.
Okay. I just, you know, because people, yeah. There are people who like the traditional, and I know there are, again, like, I know that there are newer sports that have come along.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was just curious, you know, if
yeah, and we all have our preferences, you know. I love watching gymnastics. Someone else loves watching swimming. So I just hope that people, you know, have a great time when they watch our sport. It's exciting. It's, you know, it's a huge adrenaline rush, I think, just to even watch it. So,
right.
You know, live or on TV.
And what's it like being, especially in this day and age, being an American Olympic athlete? You know, how do you feel as though the other country? I mean, this one will be in, these games will be in Canada, so it's not like you're going really overseas. But how do you feel as though you're received from the other nations?
All of us, and I don't know if it's a matter of our sport or just being, you know, a winter Olympian. I mean, to all of us, the Olympics are an opportunity for us all to get together and celebrate, really. You know, I don't want to sound all, like, cliche about it, but I love my competitors from overseas. I'm great friends with the Chinese girls, who are some of my biggest competitors, and with the Aussies. And you know, I think we're well-received everywhere just because, you know, just because of our individual personalities and all of that. I think we'll be very well-received in Canada. I love Vancouver, and, you know, my family and friends are going to be up there cheering me on as well. It's almost like having a home country Olympics, just a little farther to the north.
Right, okay. So you never receive backlash or anything. That's not an issue.
No, not at all.
Okay. And no. So
we're all very close. I mean, the thing is about our sport is that we're always in such such challenging situations together that we're just, you know, we're always up there helping each other out, and that's, I think, what's a wonderful thing about the Olympics, you know?
Right. No American woman has won the aerials, has medaled in the aerials since 98. Are you confident
Correct.
To say that 2010, that will change?
I would absolutely love to see that change. You know, every year my results have been getting better. I've been on the World Cup podium a lot, you know, competing against the same women that I'll be competing against next year. So I would absolutely be honored to follow in Nikki Stone's footsteps and bring home a medal next year.
So you're feeling good? Everything's healthy? You're feeling like your body's, everything's in tune and this is sort of like your time?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm healthy. And, you know, the biggest thing is that the only thing that any of us control is our own performance, you know? So I'm just doing everything in my power every day in order to ensure that my performance is going to be the best. So, yeah, I can't control what the other girls are going to do out there, but I can control going out there and performing to the best of my ability. And at this point in my career, you know, I feel like that, you know, that could potentially be enough. So I'm definitely excited to go out there and do my best two jumps and see what I come away with.
And in a perfect world, how many more Olympic Games would you like to compete in?
Most likely this will be my last Olympic Games. I'm definitely
really?
Not officially announcing that.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm 30 years old now, and So there's a lot of other amazing things to do in life. We'll have a world championships in my hometown next year, so we'll see. I may stick around for that. But it's always a matter of, you know, whether you're healthy, whether you're happy, having a fun time, and that's something that I'll assess, you know, when this Olympics are over. For me right now, it's, you know, it's hard to think past today, never mind past 4.5 months from now.
So is there things in particular within athletics or anything else that you would like to do when you officially retire?
You know, I'm not positive yet. I definitely would love to stay around the athletic field. I love sports. I love the opportunity that it provides for, especially for young people. So I'd like to stay involved in sport in some capacity. I'm a mass comm major right now at the University of Utah. I'm a junior, and I'm very slowly chipping away. So probably I'll just finish my education right away and then move forward from there.
Okay, cool. And finally, what if you can talk to me just a bit about what you're doing with Uniqlo?
Yeah. Uniqlo is an awesome company. I'm so excited to be involved with them right now. What I am is their official heat tech ambassador. So, I mean, they just know that as a winter athlete, I travel to all of these freezing cold places. So their heat tech line is a really thin, soft, smooth, kind of layering piece, but it's a fashion piece, right? So it's not meant to be worn underneath everything. It's meant to be seen. I'm actually wearing one right now. It's incredibly comfortable, and it's really warm. It traps the heat inside inside the material. It's a material developed by one of the largest Japanese fabric companies, Toray. So it's very unique. And it comes in tons of colors, and it's fairly cost efficient, just, you know, around $15 to $20. So I'm really excited to be with them, and I'm excited that they're going to keep me warm on tour this year when I'm running around, you know, night before competition or anything like that.
Great. All right. Well, very nice to meet you, Emily, and best of luck in 2010 and between now and then. And thank you very much for the time. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Ariel.
All right. Take care.
Bye.